What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Hey, Richie McCormack here from OTB's Rugby Daily. We'll keep you up to date throughout this year's Six Nations. So subscribe to Off the Ball Rugby and you can listen to Rugby Daily for free wherever you get your podcasts.
The Six Nations. Join in the obsession.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. The official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.
It's back.
Number one, straight up, top of the list, no questions asked, Cora Staunton.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Look, Katie.
Yeah.
Are you going to get over Katie?
All this week on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Suzanne Cain, who is your favourite Irish women's sports person of all time?
Oh, do you know what? I got to say Anne Downey. Kilkenny, manages the Kilkenny team, Kilkenny camogie player, absolute ambassador for women in the sport, which is loads at county level, club level, college level. Yeah, Anne Downey, 100%.
Well, that's the perfect introduction for this one, which is our camogie in football. We have Aisling O'Reilly and Tommy Walsh with us. Tommy, good morning to you. Aisling, good morning to you both. How are you?
Yeah, good morning,
lads. All good.
Tommy, no pressure here, but... the entire history of camogie is obviously it's over 100 years. I think their centenary recently. How deep into the recesses of history have you gone for us?
Sure, listen, this is nothing is impossible. This was impossible. I went back many, many years just looking and reading and researching the last couple of days. I have to say, Ger, it was hugely enjoyable because it brought back memories of my own childhood, looking at some of these players, watching them on television, All-Ireland finals, and reading about them in books. And I nearly thought to myself, I'd love to have had 2 or 3 weeks at it, because going back, looking at maybe YouTube videos that you could find and looking at research of different All-Ireland finals, club All-Ireland finals, I thought it was hugely, hugely enjoyable the last couple of days looking at. And I was looking at both the football and the hurling, kind of GAA as a whole, in women's sports. And the one thing that struck me is the records and the stats of some of these players is just off the wall. Like you're talking about 20 county finals. Like, it's nearly handy enough looking at these lads doing 6 club All-Irelands. You know, that kind of a way. There's loads of them. And it's absolutely amazing. They're scoring stats personally, individually in All-Ireland finals, both club finals and All-Ireland senior camogie finals and ladies football finals, is astounding. So I went back probably Cathy Mills, 1941, and obviously I had to do a good bit of research just to reading up and maybe ringing around about that. So, yeah, Cathy Mills was the farthest I went back.
So she's first on your list, right?
Well, listen, looking at it, and even, I suppose she's probably one of the first superstars of camogie, like, really. And she's 15 All-Ireland finals, like, with that great Dublin team. Like, it's an amazing. I think it was only when Breach and Rena came along that was beaten. But even in an individual game, the camogie game, she's 15 All-Irelands, 20 Leinsters, 6 or 7 Dublin championships. So they call her the invincible, the Inchy Core invincible. That's what they call her. So she has to be on the list. So Kathleen Mills, and I think if you're talking to anyone in Dublin GA circles or Dublin camogie circles, hurling circles, I think she's probably one of the top of the list. So that that was purely on research only, I suppose, Jen, really. Yeah.
And as a matter of interest, are there many people you can ring who have seen or who can put in context on that? Like, what are those conversations like?
Yeah, no, it's all just basically on, I suppose, stories from their own parents, the people that would have been talking to their own parents, their own club members, and that. It's like, I suppose, myself coming up reading about maybe Christy Ring, Eddie Kerr. So you're going on stories of the era before you. So that was the same with Kathleen.
That Dublin dominance was absolutely ridiculous, I think. So you were saying she started in 41 and finishes up basically 20 years later. And
yeah, she made her debut at 14. the senior Camogie team, which it wasn't unheard of in Camogie, I'd say, up until even the 90s. Like, I remember when I was growing up, I'd say Claire Grogan from Tipperary, who was part of that great Tipperary team, they won, I'd say, 4 or 5 All-Irelands. Claire, I think Claire was only 13 that time starting, so it wasn't unheard of. But yeah, Cathy Mills was 14 when she was starting off.
And actually, after she retired, they still won a few more, so maybe if she'd stuck around for a few more years, she could have padded out her stats.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so who else on the Camogie? Who's on your shortlist? Is there anybody who doesn't make it?
Yeah, so I was looking at, there were so many fantastic eras. You take the Kilkenny era of around the late 80s, early 90s. They won 7 in a row. So the great Angela Downey, obviously, is top of the list. She won 12 All-Irelands. She won 20 club championships with St. Paul's and Kilkenny. An extra 2 with Liz Downey when she went back to Liz Downey Club. 6 club All-Irelands. Like, her records in All-Ireland finals, right near this year. Like, 2-4 in the 86 final. 1-3 in the 88 final, 2-1 in the 89 final, 1-2 in the 1990 final, and 91 final, she scored 4 points. Like, it's just scoring that's off the charts. Now, I think she's probably regarded as the greatest Camogie player. I was lucky enough to see her when I was in primary school in Tullerone, started around 87, 4 years of age. The O'Duffy Cup came to Tullerone School every year for the next 5 years. Breda Holmes, who was her kind of scorer-in-chief along with Angela. Like, looking at even Breda's scoring, like, 3 points in the 85 final, 1-2 in the 87 final, 2-1 in the 88 final, 1-1 in the 91 final. So Breda Holmes is probably unlucky to make that list. I'd say if she's from any other county, she probably would be on it. You know, that kind of way. And Breda taught me, and she's still teaching Tullerone, a fantastic role model to all those. And for us as young people coming in, the Lee McCarthy wasn't coming in them first couple of years, but the O'Duffy Cup was there every year. Brady McGarry on that great Kilkenny team, she was a brilliant player, centre back, wing back, brilliant woman to read the game. Looking enough to meet Brady as well later on in the year. And Downey, like, she's always kind of twinned, obviously because she's a twin, with Angela. But and in her own right, was a fantastic, fantastic player. Midfield, she was kind of like more in the Breach Corkery mould. She was the enforcer, the dynamo at midfield, the person that got everybody going. So she was probably unlucky as well not to make it. So that was a fantastic era for Kilkenny, Camogie, Liz Nari as well, like a couple of players on the team of the century. Go on then to that Cork team that would have been playing, Sandy Fitzgibbon. Like, I was looking at Sandy Fitzgibbon's, even she played basketball, just looking at it here, she played basketball for Ireland, 64 caps. She won 10 county finals, Sandy Fitzgibbon, 4 club All-Ireland, 6 All-Irelands with Cork. That was a fantastic team, Cork team as well. She's unlucky. Linda Mellerick, 10 club championships, 3 club All-Ireland, 6 All-Irelands. So there's huge players from that era not on the list. Go on into the next couple of years, I suppose, people aren't on the list. Listen, you could go on and on. But they're probably the standout players maybe that didn't make. Ursula Jacob didn't make the list. Again, it was a tight list with 4. So I was looking at Ursula Jacob, like 2-7 in the 2012 final, 1-6 in the 11 final. She won 3 club All-Irelands with Owlart. Like, people sometimes take for granted free takers. Ursula would have been a great free taker. But anyone that played the game and won championships, won club championships, county championships with their county, realise that a free taker is huge. The ability to soak in that pressure. You've seen it with the likes of Johnny Wilkinson for England over the years, and Dan Carter, New Zealand, you know, Johnny Sexton, Ireland. For a free taker in the GAA, it's just huge. And Ursula Jacob was probably unlucky not to make the list.
I'm making a totally biased case for my Auntie Maeve, who scored 2-2 against that Dublin team that Cathy Mills was on to stop them winning 16 in a row in the semi-final. 6-2 to 6-1 was the final score, and the Irish News said it was the greatest game of Camogie ever played on the right fields of Ulster. So
unbelievable. So Cork and Antrim were the team that got in the way of Dublin in terms of a 20-year dominance.
She was also refereeing All-Ireland finals at that stage.
Wow.
As like,
not her own option.
No, well, I'd say she was doing a bit of that too. All right, so that's that era. And so have we narrowed your list, Tommy? Angela Downey's definitely on it.
Angela Downey is definitely on it, absolutely, yeah. Kathleen Mills is definitely on it. Just listen, with that record and that era of dominance for Dublin, you know, if you give me another week or two, you know, I'd scroll down the archives and maybe see a couple of videos and that as well. But anyone that is talked about in that ilk, I don't think you have to see them. I think they're nearly an automatic on that team. So she has to be on it, Kathleen Mills. So that leaves two to go. So I went with two great teams, as well as the Tipperary team, 99, won five All-Irelands, 99-04, and the Great Wexford team that won four All-Irelands. So they're the two eras that I went with. So the first one up would be the Tipperary one, Deirdre Hughes. So Deirdre Hughes, the Tubby Bar woman, she won five All-Irelands. She was paired a match in the 99 final. In 2000 final, she scored 2-2. 0-1 final, she scored 2-2. 0-3 final, 1-1. And 0-4 final, a goal. She was an amazing player. And there's a girl up doing great work in Tullerone, Trish Clear, who'll be from that club, still goes down playing with that club in Tumi Vara. And she's just held, Deirdre Hughes is just held in the highest regard. And that was a great, great Tumi Vara, great Tipperary era. And so Deirdre Hughes is my third player on the list.
We were calling around and asked Mary White and Emma Ryan for nominations, and they both nominated Deirdre Hughes as well. And I think Deirdre Hughes is on your list, Aisling.
Yeah, I had her on as well. You know, what a player. As Tommy listed out there, the stats, and haven't got to see her a hell of a lot. But I think just when you list through all the different assets and credentials that she has, and the player that she was as well, a dominant team at that era as well. So yes, fully deserving to be on that list, and I had her on my four as well.
You obviously have Kathy Mills, Angela Downey and Deirdre Hughes as well. What's your nomination for one final place, Aisling?
Wow, so Tommy has Kathleen, he has Deirdre, he has Angela. Well, I also had Anne. I just think the two of them together, obviously twins, and what they did in the game together was remarkable. And I think growing up, I always heard the stories of the Downey twins, and I grew up playing with my sister, and I think a lot of us sort of looked up to them in a way. There's nice stories about how they started out, and you know, they were in boarding school. Tommy probably know it a bit better, and how their dad would collect them and bring them to training and drop them back, and how their mom would know nothing about it. And thought it was nice that he took such an interest, and imagining he never took an interest, where would they have ended up? Would they have went on to do what they did? And then obviously Anne going on to manage the Kilkenny team, the success she's had there, and then going on to manage men's teams as well, which we had never seen. And I just think she's a real trailblazer that way. So I, to be honest, would have Anne in there as well.
Okay, so that's your four.
That's my four, yeah.
Okay. Tommy, who's your fourth? And there's always a three I think everybody agrees on, but the fourth one for you.
Yeah, so the fourth, and I kind of went with my own little rules, and I kind of went with one per county. So that's rule. That's why Angela was the only Kilkenny one I put on it, and same with the other counties. But so I went with the Wexford era, Una Lacey. I thought Una was just an incredible player, watching, you know, Camogie. So around the, you know, to 2000s era, the late 2000s era, you know, say 10, 11 and so on. She was absolutely brilliant with Wexford, with Aulart Abala. Like, looking at her scoring stats as well, like, she was unbelievable. Like, she scored a hat-trick in a club All-Ireland only a year or two ago for Aulart to in another club All-Ireland. Like, Aulart Abala are an amazing club. They're a small little club in Wexford who are devoted purely to hurling. Like I'd say, that they're born with hurls in their hands, both men and women. And it's amazing to see two successful teams coming out with one small parish. So Una Lacey, I thought, like, she's four All-Irelands, three club All-Irelands. She won five Féilis. That's the under 14 one. You know, everybody knows what the Féilis. Five Féilis she won, which is, like, you know, I think, I'm not sure what age Féile was at that time, but it was normally under 14. So that means she must have been starting when she was, you know, nine. And that was great. Like, she won senior colleges, where school, she won Ashburns. Like, as I said, hat-tricks in All-Ireland finals, two goals in All-Ireland finals. I just thought she was a special, special player, that she might be in the game next minute she scores a goal. Like, even for them late, that latest club All-Ireland triumph, like, she, her knee was bandaged up. I'd say she was only getting from game to game, and still there, hat-trick in an All-Ireland final. So for her impact, I suppose, on, I'd say, you know, encouraging young people and inspiring young people to take up the game, which is huge in the growth of Camogie. Una Lacey is the fourth person on that list.
Okay, so that's Tommy's list. Are we saying That's the list.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, okay, okay.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Ashley, you've been looking at the football.
Yes, yeah, I have. Do you want me to start from 1-4 or 4-1?
Well, is there a chronological order to them that you want to...
It's very tough. And just like Tommy, like I went back and forth over the last week or so. And when you actually look at what these women have achieved, it'd just take you back. It's incredible what they've done. So it's very hard to get the four. I had the likes of Sinead Ahern from Dublin. She really could have got in there as well. You had Valerie Mulcahy from Cork. She could have got in there. So many players that I could have added in, but I did whittle it down to four. So my first, I suppose I'll start with then, is Cora Staunton. Who else? Unbelievable icon of the game. You know, growing up for me, she was definitely the player that me, my teammates, friends, that we looked up to. You know, football wasn't as visible and easy accessible to watch as it would be now. You know, I'd have family from Mayo, and I remember my uncle would ring me and tell me, you know, he looked it up on the paper, she'll be playing at this time in TG Cahir, and, you know, we'd all sit down to watch her because she had that X factor. There was just something about Cora Staunton. She made her debut in 1995, age 13, 11 All-Stars, 4 All-Irelands, 4 league titles, 15 Mayo County titles, 14 Connacht Club titles, 5 All-Ireland Club titles. And I think just, you know, the majority of the time she was unmarkable, putting up serious scores. Like, I remember we used to hear some scores coming out of the club championship and she was scoring 9-12 a game. Incredible stuff. And obviously we've seen her do it for county time and time again. And I think as a player, she was just physically so strong, really powerful. But then she had the pace as well to match it. I just think she's a special, special talent. And one thing about Cora that always stood out is that she was accurate from both feet. And I think growing up, she was the first women's player that I really saw that she was flawless from both feet. I never really saw that too much. Now, there probably was other people, but I, you know, it wasn't as visible at the time. Cora was the one that I saw, okay, yeah, we should be practicing off both feet here. You know, she was something else. And yeah, obviously went on then with the AFLW, 35 years of age. She took up a completely new sport to become a full-time athlete. She paved the way for so many players then to have an opportunity to play in a professional environment in the AFLW. And I don't think there's many players that can be compared to her. She's, yeah, incredible.
I think even the recovery from injury in Australia to get back to the level after that, there's like a singularity of mind and purpose. I do have, when it comes to this massive bias for people who can do it in more than one sport, it's a real sign that there's like a... I have this thing that I'm able to do, but I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to make sure I get the absolute maximum out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go on and be in a professional environment, to want to have that for herself. Like, she had trials, I think, under 16 with Ireland to play soccer. You know, she won titles in Mayo with soccer, in rugby as well. So she definitely could have played multiple sports. And obviously, we've seen it with the AFLW. She put all of those talents into one. And yeah, she really is something else. And there's not many players that we will see like her again, I don't believe. And everything that she did for young players coming through as well, I think is important to note.
Yeah, Tommy, you picked Cora Staunton on your list as well.
I did, yeah. Sure, listen, her, if you didn't even look at her stats just growing up watching the game, you know, like she was just amazing. And you'd be always hearing them stories, just like Aisling said, of scoring 7 goals, 9 goals. Just these special players can do things like that. And to go on and win FAI Cup, Women's FAI Cups, Connacht Rugby Leagues, go on and do what you've done in the AFL over in Australia. It's only special people can do that. But even with that, I'd say her single mind, like reading from the outside and looking in from the outside, her single-minded focus seemed off the charts, like as in, you know, Roy Keane type of stuff, Jackie Tyrrell kind of stuff, where just once they got something into their head, they were going to get it no matter what. And Cora Staunton, looking in from the outside, seemed like that kind of player who could then go on and inspire everybody else all around her. Like even reading up on her the last couple of days, like she looking at interviews that she's done, she was talking about like playing 3 or 4 times a week. And I think this is just in ladies' Gaelic football, train 2 or 3 recovery sessions, 2 or 3 gym sessions. Like this top intercounty hurlers and footballers are not doing that. And that's why she became, like she was always had the talent, obviously. If she's starting at 13, 14 years of age on a county team, she has to have a sensational talent to start with. But that was obviously backed up with an incredible work rate and focus. So Cora Staunton, yeah, it was definitely on my list.
Oh, and who is Mary Jo Curran in terms of the context of these conversations? She's on both lists here. Why is that?
She's on the Kerry Mount Rushmore, off the ball's Kerry Mount Rushmore, men and women, just an absolute legend of a game. I guess before the Cork team were getting recognition in the 2000s and deservedly so, there was always this record that Kerry had managed to clock up from the 80s into the very early stages of the 90s, right? I think it ended in the 90s. The ridiculous level of achievement from a team in Kerry who I guess were in the shadow of the men for quite an amount of time, but managed to not only usurp what the men did in terms of consecutive All-Irelands, the men won 4, the women got to what, 9 in a row in terms of actually winning, which is just beyond belief. Mary Jo was the best player on this team, a brilliant basketball player as well, and very well involved with basketball still. It seems to be a lot of the Gaelic Games greats are. And whenever you speak to people who played on that great Kerry team, Mary Jo was the one. She was the player, and I guess like a lot of great people in Kerry, the surname is not required when you speak about Mary Jo.
Right. Well, that's that is high praise in Kerry. There's few enough who've got to that level.
Few.
Bomber,
yeah.
David.
Bomber, David, John B, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a first name basis. And again, it comes with the context of this with regards to, say, the actual people who would have been voting with their feet to support a women's team in an era when it just didn't get the respect it deserved whatsoever. For her to actually have that legacy 30 years later says quite a lot.
There's no controversy about this. Mary Jo is on both the football lists. Aisling, I don't know if you've anything to say about that.
Yeah, no, incredible. Again, obviously I never got to see her, but 10 All-Irelands, 10 All-Stars. As Owen said, she played from 1976 to her last senior medal in 93. Just incredible. And a name I've always heard around GA circles, always held in such high regard. And, you know, she got that Hall of Fame award in 2013. And that's when I really learned a hell of a lot more about Mary Jo. And yeah, really regarded as one of the best players to ever play the game, to be honest. And obviously went on to be a coach in that as well. So she's most definitely on my list as well.
So the next section of this is where it gets a little bit tricky, in that we've got to try and get that Cork team represented. How are you going about that, Aisling?
Very difficult, yeah. Went back and forth quite a bit, but in the end, I picked two that really growing up for me would have stood out, but I think just everything about them, everything that they won, is just standout and may never, ever be achieved again. Probably I could firmly say it won't be achieved again. Breege Corkery is my number two. I think when you think of greats of the game, it's impossible not to be blown away by Breege Corkery. You know, her athleticism, her skill, her pace on the ball, and I think the force she accelerated with just made her almost unmarkable. And she had that ability to suddenly change a game. You know, I think we'll all remember her solo runs at times. You know, she was that player that if you needed a score, you needed a difference maker on the team, she was that player. She was so exciting to watch. And yeah, if you think of dual players within the game, Breege Corkery will always instantly spring to mind. She was part of that Cork senior ladies football and the Camogie setups, who are very successful. She was in there from a teenager. She played right up until 2019, 18 All-Ireland medals in both codes, 11 football, 7 Camogie, and a whopping 16 All-Stars. So she's, yeah, just incredible. We all got to see her Lochra Gael as well there a couple of years ago, and I think we got to see a bit more about Breege, because just like when she retired, she slipped away out of the game. No fanfare, no applause. You know, she didn't do anything on social media. That wasn't her. She wasn't about any of that. So when we got to see her Lochra Gael, we definitely got to learn more about her as a person, you know, coming from a family of 10, pursuing a job as a stonemason. Incredible to think that she was doing that type of work and then going out to play games, and she loved it that way. She tried other jobs, it wasn't for her, that's when she was happiest. And yeah, she's a standout player, very, very unique, and yeah, she's definitely on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Tommy, to try and get that Cork team represented, this dual star aspect is she's obviously not alone in that. So what was your approach to this?
Well, listen, it's kind of a GA around Mount Rushmore, wasn't it? So you have to look at both of them together, both of them individually, and it's probably what makes it stand out for her. Like, she was incredible at both. And I mean, you join them up together, as Aisling said, like all those All-Stars, all those All-Irelands, like, it's just... But the one thing, like, you looked at the Laker Gael for Breach, like you'd have to say, if she was on your team, like, if you're going to battle and Breach says where to go, you're going. You're not thinking about it. You're not asking her any questions. Where are we going, Breach? That's it. We're gone. What time are we going at? Because she seemed inspirational. And looking in from the outside, reading about her, looking at the Laker Gael, the players loved her. They were, you know, they idolised her. And if you have a player like that, that's the difference in winning maybe, you know, two or three extra All-Irelands than not. Because when she's out doing things, and she, as she said herself, it wasn't maybe that she was going off doing all them gym sessions that we spoke of Cora doing, but she was always, when she trained hard. And when she was there, she just gave it everything. And that's what you have to do. When you have a player like that, it kind of brings another six or seven players with you. And especially the young players coming onto squads. And I'd say Breach did that in buckets. I'd say when she did something, the rest of the players copied. And like her, even she won club championships with her own club. Like, she won leagues. She didn't just win All-Irelands or All-Stars. And that was on a team of stars. Like, I love looking at that Cork team was kind of... they were there around the same time as us. I remember Mary was captain one year, and she said, I said, we must have been after doing the four in a row, one for the five. And she said, we're after doing five, Kilkenny will raise you on. You know, there was that kind of a rivalry going on at the time. I thought it was brilliant. And like Valerie Mulcahy on that team was, like, she was sensational. I mean, you wanted to score an All-Ireland final. Valerie was one of those players with that X factor as well. You couldn't, you had to watch her for 60, 70 minutes. Should be gone in the 65th minute, you know, that kind of way. Eamon Ryan, I was lucky enough to have Eamon coaching our team in UCC, and everything that they say about him is what you would remind you of Eamon. He was just an absolute gentleman, but, you know, he had just so much common sense, and his way of getting the best out of teams and players was just getting to know them, letting them be themselves. And Eamon Ryan was just an absolute legend of the game, and I'd say he helped all those players be themselves. He didn't ask him to be somebody else. He let them be themselves. And as Aisling said about Breach, yeah, she was a stonemason because that's what she loved to do. She's farming. That's what she loves to do. And Eamon Ryan, like, you know, he was calling him years after they'd left the panels and stuff. And an amazing era for Cork football. You know, Breach Stack, Juliet Murphy, you know, sensational team. But Breach, I think, because, and Rena Buckley, obviously, like.
Well.
But I think because of what she done in both sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rena's right there with her. Breach has slightly more All-Stars. They've got the same number of All-Irelands. Rena captained both the Camogie team and the football team to All-Ireland glory, and she was the first person ever to do that. So how do we split these, Aisling? It's terrible that we're like trying to pick one against the other.
Oh, it's awful. And again, with Valerie, what an exciting player to watch. She was that player that you'd try go out and be, you know, her unbelievable scoring ability was something else, her pace. Yeah, she was sensational. But for me, I couldn't separate Rena and Breach. I felt that I had to have the two of them together for what they've achieved together as well. The 18 All-Irelands, 11 football, the 7 Camogie. As you said as well, Dirt became the first Cork player to captain her county to All-Ireland success in both codes. On 6 occasions, she helped Cork win a double. She played in 22 All-Ireland finals. And I think, you know, if you're thinking of dual stars, it's definitely those two names, Breach and Rena, come to mind. And to do both, I just think it's incredible. And I don't think we're ever going to see dual stars do what they have done. So for me, I had to have Raina in there because I just think as an athlete as well, a serious athlete, a real leader on the field. We've seen that off the field as well. She did a lot of the hard work coming from defence or midfield, wherever she lined out. But she could get up and get a score as well. So for me, for all she achieved, I think I'll have her in my four.
So your picks are Cora, Mary Jo, Raina Buckley and Breach Corkery. That's your four footballers, Aisling.
That's it, yeah.
And Tommy, you had Mary Jo, Cora, Breach Corkery. And who was your fourth? Was it you pick between Valerie Mulcahy and Anya Wall? Could you manage to separate them?
Yeah, so again, I had to make up that rule. And I went with one per county. So Breach just barely eclipsed Valerie Mulcahy on that one. So I went with Anya Wall. Just saw like, you know, I think the story of Waterford football is just, and Ballymac is just a story that should be told time after time. They're up there in the mountains there in West Waterford. Football is their, you know, their be all and end all. And like looking at her stats, like 5 All-Irelands, 8 All-Stars, 10 Club All-Irelands, like just on your wall. And again, I suppose, we got to see an insight into Ballymac. We got to see an insight into Waterford football, into Michael Ryan, into Anya Wall in her Laoghaire Gael. I thought it was an amazing Laoghaire Gael. What they had to do to win Club All-Irelands, you know, they're out watching Kerry County Finals, or up watching other County Finals, and then just emulated themselves and won, and they're still winning County Finals. They're on, I'm sure, 40-something in a row probably at this stage, but, you know, and you can take that for granted, but yeah, Anya Wall is my fourth.
Isn't Laoghaire Gael brilliant? It should be in a museum.
Fantastic.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, what we were supposed to do was divide this into one list and only have four going forward from GAA. But I don't think that's fair. Why is there four soccer and not four camogie and four Gaelic footballers? Why are we biased in favour of soccer?
I agree.
I agree, absolutely. That's what I thought we were doing.
Unless you want to make a small list of only four people to represent the entire sports of camogie and Gaelic football, is that what either of you would like to do this morning?
Absolutely not. No, Gerry, you're my new favourite person in the world.
Outrageous behaviour, I think. Bias in favour of soccer. You're sitting there with your arms folded saying nothing. What have you got to say for yourself?
What do you mean, what have I got to say for myself?
What do you agree or disagree, Owen?
Like, it's there's a separate Mount Rushmore for football and a separate Mount Rushmore for camogie. Brilliant.
I agree. We've made a call, an executive decision.
Yeah, they're well on a very strong list.
So, yeah. Sorry, but is Aisling's list the final football list and Tommy's is the final camogie? Is that what we're doing? That's fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, absolutely.
The one thing was, I was wondering if you could kind of have kind of conjoined heads on Mount Rushmore if you were to, but you can't really do that. That would just be cheating, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. Yeah, or okay. Only.
All right.
What would
okay.
be the one person from your list that you each can't lose at this point when it comes to the ultimate decision on Friday?
Well, after listening to you, Owen, I was scribbling off someone to win Mary Jo, to be honest. Like, it's unbelievable. Who's the one person for me? And it was Angela Downey. Angela Downey is just the impact, as I grew up when she was having that impact on both camogie and hurlers. Like in Kilkenny, it's like when you speak of Mary Jo on the Mount Rushmore, men and women, like that speaks for itself. Well, Angela Downey is the same in Kilkenny. If you did a men and women, or, you know, all sports, she would be on it in Kilkenny, Angela Downey. So she's the one whom I wouldn't take off the list yet.
Ash?
Yeah, for me, definitely Cora Staunton. I just think iconic. I think if you say the name Cora Staunton in any circle of any sport, you know, around Ireland, people will mention Cora Staunton and know all about her and what she has done for the game. And from such a young age as well, at 13 years of age, playing for her county team is incredible. And then to go on and pick up a new sport at 35 years of age as well and pave that way, I think that's really important to give girls an opportunity to go and play in a professional environment. That was absolutely massive. And yeah, she had a huge part to play in all of that. So for me, Cora is that one.
Tommy Walsh, Aisling O'Reilly, thanks.
Just two entrance stats I just picked up from all of that. When Cork, they won 11 All-Irelands, that football team, in 12 years. The one year they didn't win, Breach Corkery was away on holidays.
Nice.
There you go.
I thought that was, and then when Cork were beaten, going for their 7 in a row, Mayo and Corrigan beat them in the semi-final. Corrigan scored 1-7 from play. That's, I thought they were two amazing stats.
That is pretty good. Right. We let them sort out the mess on Friday, folks. Thanks a million for that. Cheers.
Thanks, lads. Bye bye.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.